Hello, everybody. Welcome back to The Instance, episode 606 of said instance. It's Tuesday, June 30th, 2020. Last day of the month. I'm Scott Johnson, joined as always by Patrick Beja in France. Hello, Patrick.
What? What?
Are you not in France? Sorry, what? you're in Finland. Finland.
Yes. Yeah. That is correct. I am from France, but I'm currently in Finland.
Yeah. Did you know we're here recently? There was some talk that certain high government officials thought that Finland was under Russian control. Can you confirm or deny that Russia does or does not control Finland? Can you confirm that?
I will not. However, I will relay the answer of the Finnish government officials who said, to be fair, we also thought that was the case since 2017 for the U.S.
Oh, man. Well, that
I think.
Yeah, there you go. All right. Send your emails to the Finnish president, not us. We didn't say it. They said
that was actually the prime minister, and she is awesome. She's been managing everything
in
this crisis wonderfully, and yeah.
Is she also transparent? You can see her heart beating like a baby fish, like all the Finnish?
No, I think she has brown hair, which means her pigmentation is less translucent than the rest of the population.
All right, well, this clears everything up. Also with us, of course, Garrett Weinzierl from Florida. He's Florida man.
Speaking of translucent pigmentation, hi, everybody.
Whatever, man. You tan up okay. I've seen pictures. You do all right.
So,
not me.
Yep. I'm just going to keep the weird topical conversation going by saying I did hazard a beach visit this past weekend.
Oh, good. Oh, did you really? That's good. Did it? How? I'm just curious from a crowd perspective. How did that look to you there?
We purposely went later in the day to avoid the afternoon rush, and there were very few people there. It was extremely spread out. I never got within 12 feet of a person that wasn't my wife.
That's good. You should always stay within 12 feet of your wife and that much away from everyone else. I'm into that metric. It's pretty good.
This is not me saying you should go to the beach.
No, you're not encouraging this. You're just saying you went to the beach. That's it.
No. This is just me saying that I personally have reached a breaking point where I need to go outside a little bit.
You needed something. I got it. My wife went to St. George today with her friends for the same reason. So I am here holding down the fart, as they say. Anyway, they don't say
as
that.
You say.
As I say, maybe. All right, we're going to get right into it. We got stuff to talk about. So enjoy. All right. First, a little handout to the folks who are still playing WoW Classic, which are plenty. There are plenty of you playing WoW Classic, and I'm happy for you, and I'm excited that you're about to get the Gates of Onkaraj. You're not about to get. You actually got it yesterday in the EU.
No, it's in July. It's in July.
Oh, I misread this. I thought it was. Oh, for this whole time, I thought it was
J.
June.
You're getting your four-letter J months mixed up.
It's all a big schmear of time anyway. Okay, so you do have time. July 28th here in the States, 29th in the EU is when you're getting it. I was thinking it was yesterday. All right, well, that's good. Anyway.
And that's very important that we have, we're noticed ahead, we're told. Mm-hmm. We have advance notice.
Yeah, that's what you're trying to say. Those are the words you're trying to make. No, that's good. But you guys get stuff early usually, so it's kind of nice to see that not happen this time. I don't know why, just for competitive reasons. I love Europe.
They just keep getting Star Wars early, you jerks.
Oh, that's what it is. Movies and stuff. Yeah, you always get your MCUs and your Star Wars first and stuff like that. But
you're the reason I have to avoid social media for like a week whenever a new Star Wars movie comes out.
That's right.
Damn you, UK!
UK and others.
Yeah, fun fact, this is exactly when I started listening to The Instance. Was the first time this happened.
Oh, wait, the Onkaraj gates opening was your first? Wow.
Yep.
I think we need, it's so ancient, I think we might need to explain what it is.
We probably do. So here's Blizzard's explanation. And it matches what I remember of in about 2007, was it? Yeah, it was 07. I think Andrew was still here with me on the show, Andrew Kunietzky.
Oh, he was. I think it was like episode 14 or something insane.
That's weird. Anyway, it says here, we're putting the finishing touches on the next patch for WoW Classic version 1.1315, 1.135.5. I can't talk either. Patrick sent it to me. It's going to go live in July with that patch. We'll be ready to unlock the content we've been testing on the PTR. The Onkaraj content will unlock with the weekly raid reset on July 28th for all realms in the region. At that time, players can begin the quest chain to craft a scepter of the Shifting Sands, and players can turn in gathered resources in advance of the Onkaraj war effort. Once both these activities are completed on a given realm, the gates will be available to be opened for that realm and let the party ensue. So I'll bet people are excited about this because I remember the opening of the original Gates of Ankaraj being a huge mess and a lag fest and a server crash nightmare for quite a bit of time until things sort of settled down with how many players were trying to do all these things at once. I would think and hope that they're ready this time with, I don't know, a better back end to handle it, but also retain the experience of it being a vanilla experience.
It seems difficult. It's not, the problem is it's about server structure or design, and it's difficult to have both a faithful server design from back in the day, meaning WoW Classic type, and something that can handle the incredible influx of, because you explained the process, you didn't explain what happens once that process is completed. So for those who don't know, the Gates of Ankaraj are a place in World of Warcraft which has giant gates which only open once in the history of the game. So until now, until Classic happened, it had only happened once in 2007, and that was it. It involved a giant quest chain, and only one person, one guild could, you know, do all the things required to get the key, and one person, one individual specific person could go and open those gates. So they had to go there, have the key in their inventory, I guess. I don't remember exactly how it worked. Walk to the gates and open them. Mm-hmm. And that meant that essentially the entire server was gathered in that zone, in that place. And I was there. I guess, you know, not a lot of people actually were at the opening of the Gates of Ankaraj in the current population of WoW. Mm-hmm. I was there, and it was, as Scott described, a complete mess. I was going to use harsher words, because you had the whole population of the server connected at the same time in that one zone. And so your computer couldn't render anything. The server couldn't handle all of the people. I guess it might be designed better now.
One would hope so, right? I'd be surprised if they were setting themselves up for another mess like that, unless that's what players want. But I remember gnashing of teeth. It's a pretty angry people at the time who just could not play the game. And I remember trying to be involved with when our server's gates opened and just had such a terrible time. I gave up and said, I'll learn about it later. I'll just hear how it went. And you got to remember, this is back when, I mean, YouTube existed, but not in the way it does now. Nobody was doing big video walkthroughs of content like this. And so a lot of this you had to get through other sources or find out just kind of word of mouth later or whatever. But it was a big deal.
Out of all of the things of ancient times in WoW, and you know, the community focus that has been lost by the arcadification of the game, I think many of them I often consider to be bonuses and plus, and I don't miss much of the forced socialization of the game, like having to look for a group to do a dungeon and things like that, and that taking a couple of hours. But of course, in the middle of all of this, there are events that will forever stay with me, and the opening of the Gates of Ankaraj is one of those. It's something that I lived through virtually, but that had real significance, and that created a shared social experience that is unforgettable. And that's something that is very difficult to create now, because they don't want to make it into one single point that the whole server has to gather to. So you have the launch of the new expansion, and you have events, but everyone can participate in them. It's over a few weeks, etc., etc. Yeah. But it's different.
Chat room reminds me too that there was a point where let's see who's saying this. Professor WC says they had to close it down to a bug because some people couldn't turn their stuff in. And so they reset it at one point. I remember that being a big deal. A bunch of people were mad about that at the time. But it is kind of unparalleled in the history of the game in terms of an event like this. It was a process that required the cooperation of hundreds of players from every race and faction. It required monsters and quests and stuff from all over the map So it wasn't like
I mean,
this.
Most of it was turning it trade goods.
Right.
Most of it was that.
You're right. You're right. But
and,
this
and
idea.
We loved it, Patrick. We loved it. I say we. I was like level 18 and leveling slower than dirt because I had no idea how to play the game.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it's, I mean, we really should make a bingo card that we dish out to our listeners for any time Classic comes up, because one of the spots would definitely be anytime we talk about Classic, mentioning that the desire to keep a true to the original server experience is a hard fight with the realities of how this game exists.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like that comes up every single time we talk about Classic. It's because that is such a major core challenge, I think, of the Classic experience.
Well, you know, and I know that team wants players to feel, at the very least, feel like they're having 100% of vanilla experience. But my guess is if this goes off without a hitch, and it may not, it may be a problem, I don't know. But if it does, it'll be because they're better prepared now, because there is better tech underlying everything that doesn't interfere with the vanilla-ness of it. Also, the computers on the other end are all rendering things way better than they would have for us in 2007. So you all got better video cards. You all have better CPUs now. You've all got more RAM. So you're going to experience this in a way that's less of a slideshow no matter what. I don't know.
I don't know about you, but I'm definitely dusting off my Intel Core 2 Duo.
Is that what we'd have had around then? Yeah, it would have been. Core 2 Duos.
I think I got Intel Core 2 Duo at the end of BC.
Yeah, that sounds right.
I think that's when I got that.
That's about then. Yeah. What, Patrick, you were going to say?
For people who have not lived through that incredible event, I would say it is worth going to a Classic server, even if you're not interested in Classic otherwise, leveling a character to the point where you can travel to Ankaraj, to Silithus, which is the zone where it happens, and being there for it. Yeah. I think it's definitely worth it. Maybe it's, I don't know, I'm guessing 10, 15 levels? I find out. But at 10, 15 levels, by the way, in Classic, it means probably 3 months. So yeah. Get started now.
If I'm remembering correctly, I think you could just corpse run it at level one if you really wanted to.
Could you?
Okay. Yeah. So, but just do it. It is, again, something. Yeah, it's not the real one. Us old timers are cooler because we live through the real one. But still, I think you'll enjoy being able to say that you've seen it, because I don't think they're going to be doing this maybe every 10 years.
Well, even then, like, the game has never attempted something like this since either. So even in modern era, WoW, they still have not gone back to something quite this momentous. So
No. I mean, Wrathgate was similar because it was removed, but it was still it was in the game for so long.
Yeah. Plus it was instant
compared
to hell
a
and back.
One and done event like the Gates of AQ.
Yeah.
So.
Plus at the time, you know, at that point, Wrath of Lich King was all about instancing experience. And, you know, the idea that you could come upon the Wrathgate experience without all the wailing and the fires already happening, experience it, see the cinematic, experience the storyline and the quest leading to it, and then leave. And then from then on, that place was just on fire and in post-Wrathgate mode. And
it was interesting for the game to have this new type of story development and your quest, what you were doing in the game to affect the world after you had done it. But it wasn't a communal event. The big strength of the Gates of Ankaraj is that everyone on your server is there at the same time and hanging out. And that's something that old school RPGs, MMORPGs did very well. WoW had relatively little of it, but that was an example of it happening.
Definitely banged up against the efficiency of better technology. I would actually say that there's never been a better time than now. So Patrick's like, yeah, maybe try to get on a server and go see it. And you could do that. You could corpse run a level one nothing if you wanted to. You could go through all kinds of hoops. But we also live in 2020. You could watch half a dozen streamers on the day it happens live, see what happens, and catch it that way. So you might be able to do that as well.
That's true, but then if you do that, you can go watch a YouTube video. It kind of removes you from the thing. I understand it's not everyone's going to do it, but
right.
I don't know.
I mean, yeah, you're right. You're not wrong. I mean, is anyone in this room wanting to go do this when it happens live?
Oh God, no! I've done it already. No, I'm not doing it again. It's fine.
I think I'm just gonna continue not playing WoW Classic so that I can end its reign the same way I ended original vanilla, which was not hitting max level and not actually seeing the gates of Anchorage open with my own eyes, but hearing about it on a podcast where two dorks talked about World of Warcraft.
Gosh,
that's what I'm gonna do.
You brought us full circle. Well done. I'm excited for classical players. I think it's cool. I'm not gonna go be there live, but I might watch a live stream or something. Just I don't know, bring me back a little.
My classic experience has been weirdly accurate to my original vanilla experience, except yeah. I need to level up and talent my pet this time around.
Oh, I see. Some of those things, you know, they get past you the first time through. I get it. All right. Well, that's what's going on with that. So classic people rejoice. All right. Duncan Jones spent some time on Twitter discussing what could have been with the Warcraft movie, quote-unquote, franchise that never happened. We got one movie, 2016's Warcraft, and, you know, your mileage may vary. I had fun, but it's not a great movie. It's a case of too many cooks in the kitchen, probably, and a studio wanting to go one way, and Blizzard trying to go another way, and a director trying to go a third way, and didn't really work out. There are no other movies planned, but this exchange on Twitter I thought was interesting. Duncan Jones talked about this with a bunch of people on Twitter, and here's what he said. The tweet originally came this way. Now watching Warcraft, the beginning, Man-Made Moon, that's his name on Twitter, made a terrific fantasy film, and Universal Pictures and Blizzard Entertainment should let him continue the story. He wrote, "Thank you, Kevin. We've done the hard work. It's a pity we couldn't build on that." The tweet said then, "Can I ask, had you planned out the story for a trilogy of films or more, perhaps?" Duncan Jones then said, and this is the first time we've heard confirmation of this from anyone involved in the production, three films were planned. Part two would have been Goel slash Thrall as a young orc slave to Blackmoor's gladiator camp. Here he meets and befriends a Tauren who tells him about another land to the west where his people can come from, or where his people come from, and where he might find allies and maybe a new home. So some origin Thrall business. He also then says three... the gathering horde army and freeing of orcs around the Eastern Kingdom before a dangerous trip across the sea to Kalimdor and a founding of the first Azerothian city of Orgrimmar. Basically, the trilogy was the fulfilling of Durotan's promise to give the people a new home. The twit...
Is he saying that... you said it was planned. My understanding, maybe I misread his tweets, was that that's the ideas he had. It's not like they started pre-production on.
Right. None of this is pre-production. Exactly. None of it got that far. I think all of it hinged on the success of the first film, which did okay, certainly internationally, did pretty well, or did enough to make their money back, but not near enough domestically. And so that's what kiboshed everything else. But this is what they wanted to do.
So that's what he would have liked to do had it been possible.
Yeah, so basically what it sounds like to me is he was willing, or they were... Had things gone the way they wanted, they would have built out the story of Warcraft from the Durotan beginnings. It's a very orc-based story here, Garrett. I'm sure you love that. But anyway, the very orky beginnings to the very orky endings that we find maybe post-Arthas or something. But in theory, had this been successful, you could have had a whole series of films carry all the way up and jump around with those generations. I mean, I would have really liked to have seen that. I still would like to see it. And maybe there's a future where this happens, or maybe there's a serialized Netflix opportunity in the future. I'd never say never, but I think the Duncan Jones plan is, well, like he says, it's not happening. Bummer.
I mean, there's definitely possibilities for everything to happen. Netflix might be one. Warcraft is still an immensely popular franchise. It's, you know, the fact that one movie didn't do as well. And by the way, the movie did a lot of money. It made a lot of money.
Yeah.
The thing is, it made a lot of money on the Chinese market and was poorly received everywhere else.
Yeah. But, so at that point, you're like, well, we may as well make a Chinese language Warcraft film and just release it in China. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know how those deals work, but it was so successful in China. And it's how they were able to make their money and then some back. Had it just been reliant on US or UK box office, they were screwed. Like, it was abysmal over here. And I'm not going to sit here and say that was a great movie. It wasn't. Okay. I know it wasn't. Most people know it wasn't. It's a good time, and you can see bits and pieces of what could have been cool. And I still say the orc stuff was pretty awesome in it, but they got the human end kind of all wrong. The effects were not great. I don't know. There's just that thing has problems.
There were like specific effects that weren't great because the orcs were so good.
Yeah, they
like,
were
they
good.
They were so well realized. Mm-hmm. It's I don't know. I don't want to retread it. We've talked on here before about how it's a flawed film. And we've also had pretty long discussions about how it's probably not the best story to tell. I mean, and I am aware, I'm blindingly aware of my self-proclaimed bias against orcs on this show.
Yeah.
But it's kind of like starting with the prequels, and it's like we're following Thrall, and it's like, I know, and I'm not trying to come down on you if you're a giant Thrall fan, but it's like, you know, the Star Wars prequels, you're leading to the buildup of Vader. I don't think Thrall is as interesting a character as Vader, or maybe Superman is a better analogy because it's kind of what Thrall ends up being. He's kind of, and it's just like,
well, he's kind of Moses, right?
I would rather see him just be Superman. I don't really care about how he got there.
Yeah, he's basically Moses is what it all boils down to. He's taking
there's a lot of allegories that you could draw from.
He's freeing his people.
Down a river in a basket, but
sure, he's freeing his people. Oh, yeah, forgot about the basket. Thrall's in a basket.
Literally goes down a river in a basket.
I forgot they did that. Is that in the game anywhere, or is that just in the movie? Is that just a movie thing?
I believe that's in both. Don't quote me on it, but I'm pretty sure it's in both.
Oh, I don't. Yeah, I didn't love that.
Yeah. I didn't come on board until Warcraft 3. So Thrall was already Thrall when I kind of would have preferred them
being Thrall as Thrall, Arthas as Arthas. Let's go and start there. I think they would have had more success, honestly. I don't think they had to dip so far back, you know?
I'm really on board for I think we've had past discussions about how a series set in the Warcraft universe would be great. And even if you didn't go for a mainline story, like all original characters tell an original story just within within Azeroth.
Yeah, what I believe the plan is with that Amazon Prime Lord of the Rings series.
Yeah.
It's just set in that world. They're not retelling it. They're just going to tell us a new story, which is great. I hope.
Yeah, like get away from all of the expectations of established lore. Use them as like this tentpole of like these are historical events, and now we're gonna throw original characters in here that are just trying to survive.
Yep.
Hey, to be honest, I think that would be really interesting, but I also think that maybe especially for a movie, and that might be why I'm a little bit less enthusiastic about Duncan Jones's plans, because it's essentially, as you guys are saying, it's the prequel, which you really care about only if you've seen the main events, kind of. And I'm not sure why everyone is staying away from the greatest story of World of Warcraft, which is, you know, Warcraft 3,
sure.
Arthas and all of that arc. Why would you? It's like doing the side thing in Lord of the Rings without having done Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
Like, you have the material, you have the awesome story.
Yeah.
Why do you not, especially for a big budget movie? That's what you want to do, at least part
of it. And I'm trying not to like hammer it too much because I'm such a freaking fanboy and everyone's just gonna be like, of course that's what you want, Garrett. But I do truly believe, like, even removed from how bored I was in Draenor because it was too one note orky, and what an Arthas fanboy I am, it's like, that is, to me, I truly do believe that is the big blockbuster arc in the Warcraft universe.
Yeah, it is. And it also involved everybody. So you were gonna get plenty of orc, you were gonna get plenty of human, you were gonna get plenty of undead, you were gonna get plenty of all the things, the Forsaken. You were gonna get everything you needed and wanted. Because that's what three was.
Maybe that's why they didn't do it. It's just like, damn, we're going to need too many different unique models and CG and costumes. And
yeah, it's a good point.
And the undead might have been an issue for China, actually.
There's
the whole thing there. Yeah. But out of all of those, you know, there are a few, I think there are many excellent storylines in the in the Warcraft universe. There are really a number that could make for a great movie. But the Arthas one even provides with incredible cinematic moments that Arthas's return and his killing of King Tyrannus, his father, is a chilling moment in, like, you can absolutely see how it would be a powerful emotional moment in a movie, which is so sad that you wouldn't take advantage of this.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I mean, I don't know. What do you guys think the book reading audience of Game of Thrones pre Game of Thrones is larger or smaller than the Warcraft 3 audience?
Oh, interesting. Interesting.
So, oh, I think it's smaller. Are you kidding me? It was very popular.
Well, this is what I'm trying to get at is like, yeah, we're really close to it, so we would know it was coming, but I didn't read Game of Thrones before I watched season one, and these penultimate episode of season one completely floored me.
Yeah, but I think it would still work on a majority if it was something that, like Game of Thrones, would popularize the
That's what I'm getting at, is if you really nailed teeing up Arthas as a hero, and then you just pull the rug out from the audience the same way you've set up a certain character to clearly be the main character. This is our hero. This is who we're rooting for. Right. And then pull the rug out from under that narrative.
Mm-hmm.
It would be effective.
Yeah, I agree. I think there was a mistake there. He also went on those tweets to say, let's see. It says, truly great. Sounds epic. A shame we won't see them. He says, yeah, I wish it could have been something special. Then they followed up and says, do you think some sort of sequel to your movie will ever be made? Shame that you won't continue this marvelous vision within the Warcraft universe. This guy was very crazy. Duncan Jones says, I have no idea. And no one I worked with on the film even works at Blizzard anymore. I thought that was a telling thing. Because that's true. Chris is gone. Rob Perdo.
The big one was Chris, and we're all very aware that he's not at Blizzard anymore.
Yeah, Chris is a big one. So you got Metz Nata there. Rob Perdo was sort of executive producer dude in charge of like making that all happen. Who else? Mickey Nelson's gone. Like all of those story guys that would have been, all up in front of this thing and part of the planning and the writing and everything. They're just not there. So, yeah, I think Duncan Jones is not going to make any sequels to the Warcraft movies. That's what I'm saying. I think that's a foregone conclusion. He said at the end, despite all of what happened, I'm glad it was made and I've seen it. I liked the details and the fun things that were there as well. Plus, it became one of the highest grossing video game movies worldwide, even though some expected more from it. And Duncan Jones says it is the highest grossing worldwide game movie ever made. So it does have that title. It's made more money than any video game movie has ever made. That's something.
Which is really just a shame because the live action Super Mario Brothers movie is a classic, and I will not be convinced otherwise.
It's a fair point.
I'll say this in conclusion about this whole thing. Anyone who is listening to us now who hasn't seen the movie I'm going to name now should go and watch it. Moon by Duncan Jones is an awesome movie.
Oh, it's incredible.
You should see.
It's incredible.
It is incredible.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. Also his other one, the one on the train's real good. I forgot the name of it.
The code thing, the matrix.
Yeah. The matrixy Cody thing where time keeps spinning backwards. And then what's the other one? He did another thing that I really liked.
Oh, Mute. I didn't see it actually. The reviews were not great. But
yeah.
Moon.
Yeah, Moon's amazing.
Garrett was raising his hand.
So go ahead, Garrett.
I haven't seen it, and it is on my list, my honest to God list of shame, because I'm such a Sam Rockwell fan.
Oh, you'd love this movie, dude.
Oh,
it's just one of those ones that has escaped me.
If you even have a passing admiration for Sam Rockwell's acting, that movie's a must see.
I'm the older I get, the more I realize that I am a diehard Sam Rockwell fan.
He's great. He's great. There's nothing wrong with him. Actually, I think it's streaming now too. Let's see. I'm just going to confirm this. This is good podcasting content. Moon.
Oh, it's great. Everyone tunes in to listen to us Google.
Yep, for sure. Oh, no longer streaming, but was on Netflix not long ago. We watched it for FilmSack, but it's rentable everywhere.
I'm sure I could get it for a reasonable price.
I think that you can.
Yeah.
All right. Let's see. We also have a new date for the Shadowlands update. This is kind of a big deal. This is the one that got pushed off the early weeks of this month due to that first week of protests. Sorry, go ahead.
This has been pushed quite a bit.
Oh, yeah, quite a bit.
Longer than I expected.
I thought it was going to be a couple of weeks at the most and ended up being a full month of delay. And again, it was at the time due to the protests, and they didn't feel like it was time to do this in the middle of all that. Things were just popping off that week. So now the live stream will happen on July 8th. That's at 9 a.m. Pacific time. And they're going to do it then. Executive producer John Hyde and game director Ian Azacostas will be on screen. They'll show more about the upcoming expansion, give you a look at some of the latest content now in development. Again, that is July 8th, 9 a.m. in the morning. That's, what is that? Eastern. That's 9, 10, 11, 12 Eastern, noon Eastern.
Noon.
Yeah. It took me a second. You know, have to count these things out in your head sometimes. Anyway, it'll be on the World of Warcraft Twitch and the YouTube channel, which I thought was interesting. I thought they had an exclusive deal with YouTube, but I guess not.
It's for esports.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. It's an esports exclusivity, isn't it? Good point. We look forward to showing you more of what's coming in Shadowlands. We hope to see you then, they say. Now, I'm going to make the... I'm going to float an opinion here. I think they're way underplaying this showcase, whatever they're going to show. Either because...
An opinion or a theory?
Well, a theory. It's a hypothesis. Not quite a theory, not quite a law. Here's what I think. I think that they are underplaying it for one of two possible reasons. Because it's all very vanilla here, what they're saying. Pretty generic stuff. Either they've got really cool stuff to show, and so they're under-hyping and will over-deliver. Or they really don't have much to show. And I'm a little worried about that one.
Or the other, Scott.
I'm just worried about it being the second one. I don't want it to be that. I want it to be the first one. I want to get hyped about the Warcraft expansion, like hard. And I already kind of am, but I want to be more than I usually... I am every time. So this time I want to be more hyped, and I want it to be rad, whatever they're going to show us. But it's all really, you know, the language of this is just, we will share more about the expansion. Check it out with these two guys you know. They'll say stuff about Shadowlands. Hope to see you then. Like, it's just not super exciting.
It is. Have they ever done anything like this? Like, we're supposed to know all the features of Shadowlands, and I don't know that there is much left to reveal. So either let's maybe not, you know, maybe it's not going to be earth-shattering news, but do they have something new to show, something we don't know about? Yeah. That would be interesting, even if it's not something incredible. Or is it just going to be, hey, so this is Bastion and this is Ravendreth and here's a creature model and here's how the tower is going to work, which you already know. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm wondering why they're even doing this. If they don't have anything new to say, it feels a little bit weird.
Yeah.
So
I hope you're right. That's what I hope, is that they're going to show something, because the way they talk about it doesn't sound like they're real stoked. But on the other hand, maybe they'll blow our minds and we'll be like, whoa, you're really going to let us do that? That's great. I don't know what that would even be. So that's the thing, is I also can't think of what they could show other than
maybe a new feature,
maybe
a new something. Yeah. I don't even want to speculate, like a new race or
anything
along that. That's kind of where my brain is at, is like, if it's not a like race, is something along that line of like this additional layer of, you know, a feature of thing you can unlock. Mm-hmm. Maybe even, like, I hesitate to say roadmap, but
could be.
They've done it in the past.
Maybe a date. Maybe
we get a bit of an idea. Well, I think everyone's thinking we're going to finally get a release date, but I mean, it's still up in the air.
Well, you know, it'll land right where we all think it will be. It'll all be like, you know, November or maybe, I don't know, I don't think it'd be any earlier than that, but maybe we'll get a great release date and they'll go, and it's coming out August 15th, and we'll all lose our minds.
They should treat it like a Hearthstone card reveal, like a big one at the end, where they're just like, and here's all of the new race customization features. We're literally going to show all of them.
Yeah.
And just rapid fire.
Mm. Seems unlikely.
Earring one for trolls, earring two for trolls.
Oh, man. That's going deep.
I'm trying to think of how you would fill time if you didn't have a lot to reveal. But
do
I would
we know how long it's going to be?
An hour, I believe. But I'm not actually. I may be making that up because I don't see anything here about time.
I don't see anything about runtime in here. But I would say that's a safe bet.
Yeah, 45 minutes, an hour. I'll bet you. I could be wrong. It's not going to go longer than that.
Kilmer knocking the chat room says, treat it like a Hearthstone reveal and drop the content 3 days after the stream. That ain't gonna happen.
No, but I like the thinking there. That'd be cool. Can you imagine?
Oh my god, they come out on stage and they're like, listen,
oh my god.
So we got really bored because of quarantine and we got a lot more work done a lot quicker than we expected.
Yeah.
And so Shadowlands is out.
Yep. Install it now.
Go update your game right now.
Yep.
And enjoy, everybody.
Yeah. Have fun. It's also part of our streaming service. All these other predictions we've made, it's all there. Yeah, that isn't going to happen.
Part of the streaming service.
Yeah, all of it's there now, finally. But no, we'll find out next week. So it's the 8th. It's Wednesday. And
The show next week? Or are we going to like do a late show next week?
That's a good point. I kind of, what's the point of doing a Tuesday show if we can't talk about this?
It's going to be, I feel like it's going to, the tide is rolling out. There's going to be some fish on the beach and that's it until Wednesday next week.
We're going to have to think about that. Okay. Well, we'll talk about that off air, but that's a really good point. I'm glad you brought that up. All right. One final note about Warcraft, Small World. You may have heard of that board game before. You go to any kind of board game store and you're like, oh, what's Small World? There's a very popular series of games based on something called Small World. Well, there's now a Small World : World of Warcraft. It's a board game. You can pre-order it now.
I think it's Small World of Warcraft.
Oh, I thought they... Oh, are you sure? Let's see.
I think so. It makes more sense. I want it to be that.
You know what? You're totally right.
Together with no colon.
You're totally right. Forget the colon. Throw the colon out. It's Small World of Warcraft.
I mean,
don't forget the colon. Get screened regularly.
Yeah, always get your colon screened. Really, for real.
Continuing.
A new day dawns on Azeroth, a day like everyone before it and everyone after, a day of merciless struggle for the control of World of Warcraft. Not only is this small world territory far too tight for everyone, it also hosts a never-ending conflict between the factions of the Alliance and Horde. Dawn has broken, and the time has come to take your place on the front lines. So if you've made or spent any time with Small World, you kind of know what you're going to get mechanically. But yeah, there's a World of Warcraft-themed... Small World game coming from Days of Wonder. They're the publisher. You can pre-order it now. See how much this is. I forgot to write that down. It is a total of $59.99 and is in stock now.
The art is great.
It reminds me of Hearthstone. Something Hearthstone-y.
A little bit. It's even more like kind of, you know, cartoony, a little, you know, younger at heart.
Yeah.
It's the box art is fantastic.
It's pretty good. Yeah. I mean, are you tempted? Do you want to get this? Do you want to play this? Like,
no, this is not in my wheelhouse at all, but
not really.
I love
your
the
jam.
Art.
Yeah. The art's really good. Look, if they want to send us demo units, you know, review units, we'd take them. We wouldn't turn them down, but,
yes. After I just said, it's not my thing at all. I'm sure they're totally stoked.
They're like, hey, who would we rather have test this? Someone who loves our games or this Garrett guy.
I would also like to point out I have been a graphic designer on multiple games, and some of those I have never even opened my copy they sent me.
Oh my gosh. This saddens me. there's a trailer too, guys, so you can go see that if you want to see it. But anyway, I always kind of like this stuff when they do these sort of things. I bought the Monopoly game and the, you know, what do you call it? The Trivial Pursuit game, and I'd like when they do this sort of dumb crossover. So enjoy that. Okay, now this. Time to talk about what's going on in the rest of Blizzard or around the rest of Blizzard. Hearthstone report from Garrett, please. What's going on? Beep, 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 beep.
It's quiet.
Yeah. Because everything's out. They put it all out last week.
It's quiet. We are going into July. Usually hear about a new expansion in July.
Okay. So all quiet.
Actually, sometimes a new expansion. I think a new expansion usually come out in July because it's always terrible timing for me because that's when I usually actually take a vacation.
In July is your month, is it? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
I like August. I don't know why. August is on normal years anyway. That's the time of year I like to go somewhere.
That's when I like games to come out. That's.
Well, you may get your wish.
That's what I like it. So last year, Savers of Uldum released in August, but it was announced in July.
Okay, so probably something coming. Watch for that. Heroes of the Storm, May is really great. I think she's great. Great addition to the game. Well done, Heroes of the Storm. I don't think she's broken either. I think she's fine. She's tanky as hell. She's great. May.
She's a little strong.
Yeah.
But there's just draft the dive comp, move past her, kill everybody past the May, just ignore the May.
Yeah, but she's great. And May has, I think, successfully, honestly, I would argue this is true of every Overwatch character to make their way to Heroes of the Storm. She has made her way over there just fine. They fit right in.
Yeah, I think she's the most unique in it, like compared to her Overwatch counterpart.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't feel as Mei-like, whereas Lucio and Tracer and Zarya feel very much like their Overwatch like versions. Mm-hmm. But Mei is pretty unique and yet still feels like Mei.
Yep.
I've been lavishing Mei with praise, saying that I really like her because she feels like an old school hero's design. She feels like her kit feels like it could have existed in the tech alpha.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, that's true, I guess.
Which I really like because I'm an old man on my front porch when it comes to Heroes of the Storm. I think of these new flashy heroes with their movement ability or being able to fly into the sky like Deathwing. It's all bells and whistles to me. Give me some stutter stepping and a nice slide interrupt and that kind of stuff.
You don't want no candy. You want meat and potatoes, damn it.
Exactly.
That's what
back
you're
in
saying.
My day, we stutter stepped and we used Q and we used W and we used Z. And if you got caught out, you died. You didn't get to jump over a wall like Genji.
Yep. Sometimes you'd use R, but very infrequently.
Yeah, sometimes you would use R, but depending on the cooldown, you may not get to use it again for a long time.
Yeah. And if you're certain characters, you got to get that D. All right. What else? happy 25 years. Happy 25 year anniversary to Diablo 2. I kind of thought they'd use the day of the thing to announce a remaster, and they didn't. So if you're still thinking that's a thing we're going to get, either announced this year or not, hasn't happened yet. But happy 25 years to my Blizzard game. That was
20 years.
What'd I say, 25? 25. Oh, it's because I wrote 25. I meant 20. Happy 20 years to Diablo 2.
I will mention one thing.
25.
You didn't even include in the notes the quarterly update on Diablo 4, which is kind of a blog post, which didn't make a lot of noise, which for some reason made me, I don't want to say re-examine, but consider my excitement for Diablo 4. And I have to say, I'm a little bit getting into, maybe it's because we haven't had a lot of content and there's nothing to get excited about, but it's kind of, I'm wondering how much of it was that we wanted it to be announced and have the excitement when it was announced, but it's really a Diablo 3, an improved Diablo 3.
Interesting.
I don't know. I the fact that there was a massive blog with information about Diablo 4, which we've been starved for. There has been one of those before, I think.
Yeah.
And it kind of, no one's been talking about it, made me think, that's interesting.
What? I will say this, as someone who is extremely excited for anything Diablo related, I think they are getting to a point, action RPGs in general, that use the Diablo template, we are getting to a point of diminished returns. I don't know what more you can do with an isometric hack and slash, get lots of loot, level up, do crazy things with big mobs of characters game anymore. I don't know. Like, you could argue, I know there are arguments that there are things that Path of Exile is doing that's super innovative for its time, sure. But at the end of the day, the core experience, which is little dude, run around, do the things, I don't know how much more we advance past that. So there may be a little of that going on. And I don't blame you for feeling it. I get it. I totally get it. Where they're going to innovate here, to me, it looks like so far, is mostly in the aesthetic category. Like, stuff looks like crazy good. And the characters emerging out of the stones in kind of a up-close sort of cinematic way. And then having that seamlessly back out. And now you're in the world fighting. Like, that just shows how much the fidelity has come, or how far it's come in the last 6 years, 7 years, whatever it's been. So I guess what I'm saying is, I don't think you're wrong, but I hold out hope that no matter what, even if you can't maintain the hype level for it, it will probably be the best one of these there is when it happens. It just may not be able to break out what it is, like, it can't break out of those chains of what it is.
Yeah. I agree. And I think it's one of those things where you have to play it to really get into it. Mm-hmm. And I have spent many hundreds of hours in Diablo 3. So I definitely understand the potential for it. I guess I don't think I'm wrong for not being excited now, but I would like, I'm hoping that they can drum up the excitement again at some point, which, you know, maybe it's just that the game is so far off. They just, they're not pushing it so much.
I want another cinematic. We'll That's what I want.
I can tell you, though,
yeah,
yes, cinematics would be good. Mm. But once the beta starts, or alpha or whatever, I will sell members of my family to be into that beta.
Wait, who's going first?
I am being a little bit.
You only have two to choose from. What? That's a dangerous thing to say.
Yeah.
Extended family. Oh, okay, some okay. Cousin. I'm, really
okay, hold on. I need to earmark this so that when your son is older, I'm gonna send this to him.
Yeah, good idea. No, do like and a just, cousin I, or a dirty uncle or something like that. Sell one of those.
Yeah. some extended family. Yeah, not the immediate family.
Yeah.
Unless, you know, they give me really early access.
Yeah.
I mean, what I'm saying is, Blizzard, call me, we can talk.
Yeah, but Patrick's flexible is what he's saying.
I mm-hmm. really fell in love with Diablo 3. I would play the living crap out of new Diablo. But at the same time, I think I mentioned this the last time they did one of these updates, which is these blog posts by them feel very old school Blizzard. Mm. I remember reading StarCraft 2 updates like this years before StarCraft 2 actually released.
Good comparison. Yeah.
And, you know, we've spent so much time in the last year, especially talking about how much Blizzard has changed, and yet Diablo 4 and what looks to be a very long wait feels extremely old school Blizzard.
Yeah.
But
it's conservative.
But like on a personal note, my personal feelings towards Blizzard are not old school. They've changed a lot. They're not the infallible kind of shining example of what a game studio can be to me that they used to be. Mm-hmm. So I don't really drool over these sorts of updates the way I used to.
Yeah, it's not the same for me either. But
I've kind of sorted Diablo 4 away into when I can play it, I will care.
Yeah. I just want to sink my axe into demons, and I'll care the day I can do that. That's a good way of putting it.
Or they're going to announce Paladin, and I'm going to lose my mind. But
also, this is interesting, real quick. In Overwatch, not news, but a clarification to what we talked about hero pool stuff. We apparently didn't know what we were talking about. So Keaton wrote in and says, "Hey, Instance Gang, this is Keaton. You folks didn't know much about removal of hero pools last week, so I figured I would ride in with it close as to a TLDR as possible. The system was essentially a ban system where 4 heroes were banned from competitive play for a week at a time. Hero pools were implemented back in January of 2020 as a way to combat the metagame from becoming stagnant. Stagnant, boring meta was a common complaint throughout 2019. All right, fair enough. Next up, hero pools were initially met with support and positivity, but over time they lost their favor, and went through several changes. Maybe their flavor, too. I don't know. Namely, now heroes were picked to be banned was a constant source of controversy that never quite found a solution. Most people agreed upon that. The consistently changing metagame at that level of play reportedly caused a fairly extreme increase in pressure and burnout for Overwatch League players and staff members. They needed to always be ready for drastic week-by-week changes. To use a real sports example, it would be like if you were an American football team and had to be prepared for weeks where your star quarterback was the best running back and was suddenly and randomly banned from the NFL. So that makes sense. I get it. For now, hero pools are going away, but they also will be reworked and come back in a different fashion at another time. The Overwatch development team has implemented an experimental card that tries out aggressive balance changes to the game live. These changes are coming at a pretty quick pace, which has solved a lot of the original stagnant meta complaints. As a 2019 Overpants competitor, I am just a hair away from an Overwatch League career. I've got my finger on the pulse of all competitive Overwatch, so just let me know if you have other questions, says Keaton. Well, Keaton, that makes sense to me. I get it now. How would it be if NFL football team had to suddenly ban your best quarterback 1 week, and then the next week he's back, and the next week you get an average guy, and I totally get it.
So, what do you do when your least favorite NFL team sends their quarterback to your NFL team?
You move to Cleveland where your team's never good. Do that.
Mm,
sorry, Browns fans, but you guys suck. Sorry.
I did not understand the past 2 minutes.
Tom Brady is sadly in Tampa now.
Yeah, he's in Tampa.
Oh, that is so terrible. How could they do that? I do know the name Tom Brady, though.
Yeah, you've heard of Tom Brady. Of course you have. Sure you have. Everyone knows Tom Brady.
Yes, of course. No, but that's actually true. That's how influential American culture is. I know the name of that American football. He's a quarterback, right?
Yeah.
I don't even know what a quarterback is, but he's like a hero.
I know so little about football, but even I know that. Yes,
that's so funny. I can't believe I'm in a group where I know the most about football, because I do. I know a lot more than either of you. All right, go ahead, Patrick. What were you going
to
say?
To be fair, I am French. This was an interesting development. I didn't really mention it, the banning in Overwatch, because I feel it's very high level / Overwatch League only thing. But we can discuss how banning it works in different games and why it didn't work for some reason here in Overwatch. And that could be discussed for a long time. But what was really interesting to me was the fact that everyone, like he touched on it, Keaton touched on it in his description. It was a common complaint throughout 2019, the boring meta. Like, that's putting it very mildly. Mm-hmm. It was, people were out of their minds complaining about the fact that the meta only changed every, 4 or 5 months when you would add a new character. Imagine the Hearthstone community complaining about the meta 2 years or 3 years after launch, because I feel like they do that a little bit less now for some reason. Maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah, 2018, though, was like an excruciatingly stale year in Hearthstone. Yeah.
Right. So imagine that.
Yeah.
And that was Overwatch. And when there was a thing that shuffled the meta regularly, maybe a little bit too much, I get it. Then everyone was like, whoa, slow down. We need the meta to, like, people realize, I guess, that there is value to the meta being a little bit slower than what they had expected when they wanted the meta to change. Right. So sometimes, you know, it's the complaints are not entirely justified.
Well, high level players are people too, so I'm glad they're getting the attention they deserve. All right, that's going to do it for that and that message. If you want to be like Keaton and send us a message because you have a thought or a feeling or an answer to something we talked about today, theinstance@gmail.com is that email address, theinstance@gmail.com, or just use the site. There's a form right there at theinstance.net. Thanks to everybody who sends their messages in. Before we get out of here, a quick note that I started, for who knows why, I've actually been trying to do this for years, so I decided to finally do it. I pulled the trigger. I started a daily, quick, 10-minute or so wrap-up of the biggest gaming headlines of the day. It's called Frog Pants Plays Daily, which you can find at frogpantsplays.com. It's on YouTube and available now. Episode 1 talks about putting 200 people in Warzone, which seems crazy to me. Some other stuff, like why did the Super Nintendo World get delayed? And was it just because of the virus, or were other things at play? Also, why did I show a video of cookies being made in high-speed camera? You'll have to find out when you go check out frogpantsplays.com. And let me know your thoughts and feelings on it. There'll be another one up tomorrow. And I'm going to do this little experiment for a while and see how it goes. That's, again, frogpantsplays.com. All right, let's whip it around the corner, the table, however you put it, and find out what everyone else is doing this week. Patrick, anything people can watch or listen to that has your face on it?
Sure. I'll just give a shout out to Hondo, the AV guy in the chat room, who says, Patrick, a quarterback is 5 times as strong as Nickelback. Thank you very much for that explanation.
Nice.
That is perfect. Yeah. So what can people do that has my face on it?
Yeah.
No, that came out wrong.
Yeah.
Pixels is a podcast about video games, and I talked about a bunch of stuff on the latest episode. I will very, very soon be doing a full spoiler cast of The Last of Us Part 2 on Pixels. So if you're interested in that, go subscribe in your podcast app that you're using right now to listen to this show. Go to the search field, search for Pixels, and subscribe.
Nice.
And you'll be happy.
I think you will be happy. Have you finished it then? Did you finish the whole thing?
Yeah,
a week ago. Okay, I got to hear that episode. All right, Garrett, tell people where they can find you right now.
Nowhere, because I'm just going to be slamming The Last of Us 2 so I can finish it and listen to that episode, because The Last of Us 1 is still one of my favorite games of all freaking time.
Yeah.
And Last of Us 2 is very good so far. Amove.tv for everything. We're going to be having Slessa join us again on the Angry Chicken tomorrow. If she just won the most points in the Battlegrounds Brawl event. She absolutely killed it over there. So also she has drastically improved my MMR from the last time she was on the show. I listened to some of the tips that she gave, and I'm up almost 1,000 MMR in Hearthstone Battlegrounds. So you should tune into that, into the Nexus, if you want to learn all about May and the new weather anomaly. And here's the storm. We've got at least 2 episodes about that out already, and we'll be doing another one this Thursday. Everything's at emove.tv. Go check it out.
Nice. Do that. Do it now. Also, if you want to find more from us, you can find us at theinstance.net. Become a supporting member at theinstance.net. An Instance Plus subscriber, that's what we call you. You get rad stuff every month, including bonus shows, artwork, and other things you can't get any other way. That's theinstance.net for more. Find more shows like this at frogpants.com. That's going to do it for us. For me, for Patrick and Garrett, we'll see you next time.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Yes. Get more at frogpants.com.